At the moment, there are hardly any talks in English. Yeah? Most of the talks are in Thai. No visitors are coming. All the countries have closed their borders. People cannot come to Thailand. People wanted to ordain, come to ordain, can't come. People want to come, you know, to stay here, practice here for a while, they can't come. So there are no, hardly any talks in English. But there's more interest now in Thailand, yeah. So I gave quite a few talks the last month. Invited me to this or that monastery. I mean, when I look at you, I mean, there's no interest. I mean, who opens the tap of water, you know, so the water can flow out? Huh? You're so busy with your life. And remember one thing. Huh? Ask yourself, you know, we are thrown into this world. We are thrown, you know, into this human life form. Do we ever ask ourselves, why are we thrown into this life form? And what is the purpose of our life? Huh? We just do, you know. I mean, all what we can do is, you know, we just do. We do things, yeah. We look at our parents in the beginning, we look at our parents, what they do, and then we do the same thing, yeah. We look at our friends, you know, our relatives and colleagues and so on. Oh, yes, they build a house, they get a family, they marry, you know, and so we do the same thing, yeah. At the end of the life, you know, we do the same thing. We die just like the other people die, you know, and there's no... And do we ever ask ourselves, huh? What are we doing here in this world? What is the purpose of our life? No, because we have to do, yeah? In the first 15 or 16 years, we have to train this body. We have to learn to walk, we have to learn to talk, we have to learn to write and read, and we have to learn to think, yeah? Until 15, 16. Yeah? And normally, normally our parents take care of us until the age of 18. Yeah? With the age of 18, you know, we are suddenly responsible for our own actions. Before, our parents were more or less responsible for our actions. Yeah? So if you go against the law, you know, I mean, then we can be prosecuted, you know, according to the law, because then we are called adults, yeah? So we are responsible, yeah? Until the age of 18, you know, we are in a free space, yeah? I mean, most of the time, you know, our parents are, yeah? Parents are responsible, or sometimes you go to the juvenile prison, yeah? If you do something really obnoxious. And then we have to look at the age of 18, yeah, most of the Westerners, yeah, are kicked out, you know, with the age of 18 or go by themselves at the age of 18, and then they have to look after their body. Then they have to work, yeah. And then they do, oh, yeah, they have this job or that job, you know, maybe some people have a good job, you know, other people, you know, just manage to get by, yeah. And for what purpose? I mean, we think, you know, this body is such an entertainment factory, you know. I mean, it creates all these nice, you know, beautiful things there, or we can do all these beautiful things. But what can we actually do, huh? When we look at our life? You know, when we are 18, you know, and we start to work, when we don't go to university, we start to work a little bit later. And what are we doing? Yeah, I mean, we work for 8 hours a day, you know, and then, you know, we come home tired. Huh? And then what do? You know, we eat something, you know, and we entertain ourselves. Huh? nowadays watching the smartphone, you know, before, you know, it was watching the television, yeah, or having a conversation or going to a party, you know, that's our life. Huh? Yeah. And then we go on. And we never think, you know, the next day we have to go get up, you know, go to work again, you know, work for 8 hours, you know, come home and do the same thing over and over and over again, yeah. Until we come to the retirement age and then we don't have the strength anymore. And most of the people cannot do anything when they are retired, you know, I mean, they lack, you know, they lack the motivation to do anything. They just sit at home, you know, in their chair, you know, and do, yeah, because they don't have any more motivation. The whole motivation was, you know, to work, yeah. After, you know, after they get retired, they don't know what to do with their life anymore. After retirement, and, you know, some people, you know, have some ideas, you know, what to do, yeah, but they don't have the strength anymore to do all these things that we wanted to do when we were 30, yeah, traveling the world, you know, doing this, you know, looking at this, investigating that, yeah, and then we just wait for death, yeah, and sooner or later death will come, but how often do we ask ourselves the question, you know, what is, you know, why was I thrown into this world? Why? Huh? I mean, as Western, as Thai people or as Buddhists, you know, we do understand why we were thrown into the world because of our karma. But as Westerners, we don't know, you know, we're just getting born, yeah. I mean, and then we grow up, you know, and then we have to work, you know, and then we get retired, and then we have to die. What is the purpose of our life? Huh? Well, what is the purpose of our life? Yeah? Asking ourselves this question over and over again. What am I doing, yeah? I mean, all our life, you know, we work for this body, yeah? In the end, this body dies. So all our work that we put into this body, you know, I mean, is kind of useless, yeah? We forget that this body has an owner, yeah? And if we are Buddhist, then we understand. I mean, what throws us into this life is karma, yeah? Whatever we've done in our previous lives, you know, will result in a new life, you know, in this kind of life or that kind of life. Some of us, you know, go to heaven, yeah, and some of us go to hell. Some of us, you know, go to the hungry ghost realms or to the ghost realms, you know, and then come sooner or later they come back as a human being, and then we are thrown in again, yeah, in order, you know, to do all the good and bad karma that leads us to heaven or to hell. And there is no end to it. Unless we make an end to it. I mean, there is no end to it and there is no purpose of it, you know. What is the purpose, you know? Even if we train to become a doctor, even if we train to become an engineer, yeah? That's great, you know, in the next life. We have to train again. Huh? We have to train, you know, and after a while, you know, after a few lives, you know, being an engineer, it is boring. We want to be something else. Because we know from our life, you know, things get boring when we do them over and over again. Just the same thing, you know, we eat the same kind of food, you know, we get bored, you know, we want to have some other food, yeah? Some other tasters. Or the same thing with clothes, you know, we want to wear some other clothes, or we want to do this, or we want to do that. We get bored very easily, yeah? So we need to something else, you know, after becoming an engineer for such a few lifetimes, or a doctor, you know, or a politician, you know, we want to change. But there's no end to it. Unless we make an end to it, yeah? Unless we listen to the teachings of the Lord Buddha, who said, I mean, there's a way out. Yeah, listen to me, there's a way out. And how did the Lord Buddha find the way out? Because he was the one who reflected upon. Yeah, He saw, you know, he investigated, you know, the life. You know, he saw a dead person, you know, he said, does everybody has to die? You know, he saw a newborn baby, does everybody get born, you know? And he saw an old man, you know, does everybody get old, you know? Or he saw sick man, does everybody get sick, you know? And I mean, what is this, you know? He asked himself until he saw the samana. Huh? He saw a recluse. And he said, why is he living differently? But where do we have these recluses in the West? Huh? Where do we see them? Do we see them on the street going for alms round? Yeah? No, we don't see them. So we don't have an idea, you know, that there's another form of life. Here in Thailand or in Buddhist countries, we see these mendicants, yeah? We see these people, you know, who, the samanas or the monks, you know, or the mechis or whatever they're called, yeah? Recluses, you know, and they go, you know, and ask the people for alms and do something else. Yeah, what do they do? Yeah, they train themselves. They train not the body, just like we in the West do. We train the body, you know. We work out, you know. I mean, we work out very hard. Yeah, I mean, we try, you know, all these kinds of foods. You know, we try to keep healthy. You know, some of us, yeah. I mean, some of us are vegetarians and say, you know, I mean, meat is not good. That is an opinion, you know, for everybody, you know. I mean, they try, you know, but everything concerns the body. Huh? We are so fixated, you know, in the West, we are so fixated, you know, on this body. Yeah? Because whatever we do, you know, I mean, be it health-wise, you know, be it workout, you know, it is always concerned about the body. We don't think that there is something inside this body, you know, who drives this body. Huh? I use a simile of a car, you know. We are born in a car, we die in the car, we never get out of the car, you know. And, yeah, we drive this car, you know, I mean, but we think we are the car, yeah. There is no difference between the car and us. And that is the same thing with this body. We are born in this body, we die in this body, we never get out of this body, and most of us at least, yeah, we never get out of the body, so we believe that we are the body. So our attachment to this body is extremely strong. So we have to look after the one who owns this body, after the one who drives this body. Because the car doesn't drive, yeah, nowadays they start to do it, you know, with computers, yeah. But we are just like us, you know. I mean, we are just robots. We are just conditioned, you know, just like these autonomous vehicles, yeah. The computer, yeah. I mean, our computer is our brain, yeah. That is our computer, yeah. And when do we start to program this computer? Huh? The moment we are born. Then we start to put all the things that we want and we desire and we want to train, you know, into this computer, and that what we call brain. And when it dies, you know, I mean, this brain is also dead, you know. I mean, all the information that is in the brain is gone. Yeah, all the training, all the skills of the body are gone. Yeah? In the next life, we have to do the same thing again and again. So, a samana, a recluse, he looks after the owner of the body, yeah? And that is something that we have to do, yeah? We have to look after the citta, yeah? The citta is the owner of the body, and the citta, after the body dies, yeah? Just like, you know, when we own a car and the car crashes, you know, or the car, you know, needs to go to the scrapyard because it's too old, it cannot be mended anymore, just like our body cannot be mended anymore, and it just dies away. What does the driver do? You know, he gets out of the car, you know, and he tries to buy a new car. I mean, if he has enough merit to buy a new car, or in our terms, you know, if he has enough money, then it's fine, then he can have a new car. But if he doesn't have enough merit, you know, then he has to go, you know, on foot and work himself up, you know, to be able, or work himself, you know, work He has to work and earn some money in order to get a new car. And that is the same thing for us, yeah? If we don't have enough merit, you know, gathered in this life, while we are still a human being, we don't get a human body. And what is it, you know, what is the thing that makes us become a human being again? It is keeping, you know, according to the Lord Buddha, it's keeping the five precepts, yeah? The five precepts, not harming any living being, not taking what is not given. Hmm? No sexual misconduct, yeah? No lies, no harsh speech, and no alcohol. These are the five precepts. If we keep them, you know, then we are allowed to have another body. If we don't keep them, just regard them as laws of the country. I mean, if we don't regard the laws, you know, and the police catches us, yeah? I mean, then we are put into prison. Huh? No? Yeah? But nobody thinks about the five precepts as being laws, yeah? But these laws are universal. They are not only for this country or that country, because the laws in different countries differ, but, you know, some of them are very basic, you know? Not killing anybody, you know, is the law in any country, yeah? Not stealing is also a law in most of the countries, yeah? About sexual misconduct, you know, it used to be in Germany 100 years ago, you know, you had to go to prison. I mean, it's amazing, huh? And now look at the sexual misconduct all over the world. Does anybody go to prison? Huh? These pedophiles, you know, I mean, who take children for their sexual pleasure? I mean, and they get free. They don't get to prison, huh? It's amazing, you know, I mean, this rock, it's all because of our sensual desires, our sexual desires, you know, I mean, the world is in a shambles. Huh? But anyway, you know, I mean, according to the laws of the countries, we go to prison for a certain amount of time, yeah? And, I mean, the five laws, you know, the five precepts or the five laws are universal. They are valid for any kind of realm, yeah? So if you're in the Deva realm, for instance, in the heavenly realm, and if you go against these five laws, yeah, I mean, you also go down, yeah? You also go down to hell. And if you don't keep, you know, as human beings, and just remember how much time you have on your hand, yeah, that you can do bad things, yeah, 24 hours, you know, if you sleep for 6 or 8 hours, you know, I mean, there are still 16 or 18 hours where we can do bad deeds, yeah? And it's so easy, yeah? We are so easily influenced by the kilesas, you know, who want this, who want that, yeah? That we do these things, yeah? And then, at the end of the time, yeah, when we die, you know, then we need to go to hell, yeah? But if we did a lot of good things, you know, and kept the precepts, you know, pretty much, yeah, then we can go to heaven. But heaven, it doesn't last forever. Yeah? I mean, probably we are indoctrinated by the Christian religion that tells us, you know, that heaven is forever and hell is forever. But it is not, yeah? I mean, you can think about heaven as being, you know, being on holiday, yeah? I mean, you work 11 months of the year, you know, for gathering some money to go on holiday. Yeah, once the money is gone, you know, then you have to go back to working hell. Huh? And that is the same thing. Once our merit is gone, yeah, in the heavenly, we spend it, you know, we rejoice it, we enjoy it, you know, we enjoy the heavenly realms, you know, but the moment our merit is gone, where do we go? Huh? And we have some bad things, you know, I mean, we've did some bad things, so most of us will then go to hell, yeah? And once the hell, you know, once our bad karma is worked out, you know, and then we come back, you know, we come back in the ghost realm or come back and then after that come back into the human realm. That is a cycle. It's called samsara. It's a cycle of birth and death and birth and death and birth and death. And if you don't put up some motivation, you know, to get out of the cycle, yeah? Get out of samsara, I mean, you will be stuck forever because there is no end to it. Mm? That's why I call samsara, I mean, for easy description or for easy picture, I call it a hamster wheel. I mean, we are running around, yeah? And every thread of the hamster wheel is another realm of existence. There are 31 realms of existence. When we are running from one thread to the other, but we are not going, when we look from the side, we are not going anywhere. And we constantly miss the door that is opening, huh? And the door that is opening up is most obvious in the human realm. So we shouldn't waste our human realm, you know, for doing this or for achieving this or achieving that. Some people want to get famous. Some people, you know, want to be the prime minister or whatever, yeah? Or want to be the richest person in the world, yeah? I mean, that is a goal, you know, I mean, that doesn't lead us out. Hmm? We cannot buy our way out, yeah? And we cannot, you know, gather so much power, you know, be the most powerful person in the world that we break out, yeah? That is impossible. We have to find a way out. And the way out is seeing Samadhi Panya. It's a fourth noble truth. But in order to find the way out, you know, we have to understand the first noble truth. And lots of people don't understand it, you know. I mean, that every morning they wake up, you know, and when they have to go to work, they don't really want to get up. They just want to turn around, you know, and sleep on the other side. Yeah, I mean, they're already facing dukkha, dissatisfaction, huh? Unpleasantness. Yeah, they don't want to, you know, and not wanting to do something, you know. I mean, is an unpleasant feeling. Yeah? So they face it already. Yeah? It's a dukkha of the body, you know, not wanting to get up, you know, wanting to sleep over. And then they get hungry, it's another form of dukkha. And they get thirsty, it's another form of dukkha. Huh? And then they need to go to the toilet, it's another form of dukkha. And they get tired, it's another form of dukkha. And so every day, you know, I mean, every day we have this dukkha, this discomfort, this dissatisfaction, this ease. And this is only the dukkha of the body, yeah? But we don't notice it. Huh? I mean, we have to take care of the body, you know. I mean, if it smells bad, you know, we don't like the smell, you know. I mean, so we need to wash it, you know. We need to take care of it. We need to feed it. So, I mean, when we are hungry, you know, we eat something. When we are thirsty, we drink something. And so that is getting rid of the dukkha of the body. But it's not getting rid of the dukkha that is in the heart. Yeah? Because the body doesn't care. The body is an instrument. Yeah? The body is a tool. And if we don't understand that, if we don't really get the message that this body is a tool, yeah, that we are using to do things, yeah, then we can't use it, you know. Then we are getting used by the kilesas, you know, that uses the body for their own interest. Huh? So you have to understand, you know, that I was talking about the dukkha of the body. But then what happens to the dukkha of the heart? We don't like this, there's dukkha. Huh? We don't like that, there's dukkha. We want this and don't get it, there's dukkha. Yeah? So that is the first noble truth. And the more and the clearer and the more detailed we understand the first noble truth, the more motivation we gathering up, you know, to get the way out. And the way out is the fourth noble truth. So the second noble truth just tells us what is the cause for all our dukkha. Yeah? Because the body, you know, I mean, the bodily dukkha, you know, is something, you know, I mean, we can live with, yeah? Because we can get rid of it. When we're tired, you know, we just go to sleep, you know. When we're hungry, we just eat, yeah? But what is the dukkha, you know, what is the cause of the dukkha? This constant desire, wanting something, yeah? Even if you sit there in samadhi, now you want to get up, yeah? If you get up, you know, if you do walking chokram or walking meditation, then you want to stop. Then you want to do this. Then you want to start a conversation with this. Then you want to drink something. Then this and then this. Yeah, and this and this. We constantly want something. Yeah, this desire, you know, being for things that we want, you know, or the desire for things that we don't want, you know, creates all this dukkha. So we have to overcome it, yeah? I mean, the less desire we have, the less dukkha we have. Yeah? But we have lots of desires. You know, some of us, you know, want to become a real famous person, yeah? And that is a big desire. Some people want to become rich. That is a big desire, and that creates a lot of dukkha with it, yeah? Some of it, they are just happy with whatever they have, though, so they have little dukkha. Yeah? In the human realm is the one realm, you know, or is the one threat in the treadmill, you know, I mean, that where the door opens up, you know, to the deathless, or to Nibbana, to the way out of dukkha. Yeah? Because in the human life you have dukkha and sukha, you know, approximately the same amount, yeah? Most of us don't even reach that point, yeah? They have more dukkha, but they have also sukha. They also have happiness. Sometimes, you know, they're happy, yeah? Sometimes they are satisfied, yeah? So we see it, you know, we see sukha and dukkha, yeah? So we see this happiness or we see this unhappiness. No? We can see it and then we can judge it, you know, and then we can investigate it. Where does it come from? Yeah? Where's the happiness coming from? It comes from our heart. It comes from the owner of the body. It comes from the citta. And where's the unhappiness coming from? It comes from the owner of the citta. From the owner of the body, the citta. Yeah? So, but if we don't see this dukkha, yeah, and especially now that we live in this monastery, you know, after getting used to all these rules and regulations, yeah, that prevent us from getting into contact with the outside world, you know, and cuts down on our desires for worldly things, yeah, then we can live happily with this, you know, and forget that we have dukkha because we don't see it, yeah. You have to move this body from one place to another, you know, you have to lie it down, you have to feed it, you have to go on arms round, you have to, yeah, all these things, yeah, there's some dukkha involved, yeah. And also the unhappiness, yeah, I mean, some of you say something, you know, and you don't like to hear that, you know, there's the dukkha of the heart. Or something doesn't go to your plan, you know, and there's the dukkha of the heart, yeah. See it. This is your motivation, huh? If you don't see it, yeah, I mean, there's no motivation. We need some motivation because the path to the deathless is very tough. Huh? Ah, we are happy. I mean, we have everything that we need here. I mean, why bother, you know? I mean, that is the same thing, you know, the devas say, you know, I mean, they are happy in their heavenly realm, yeah, because they have everything, you know, and sometimes they have some dukkha, yeah, but, you know, it goes very fast, yeah. So why should I do anything, yeah? So we need to see this dukkha. We need to see the dukkha in our daily life, yeah, or get some motivation otherwise, yeah, and get some motivation, you know, sooner or later we have to die, and then, yeah, What did I do? What kind of fruitful things did I do with my life? Huh? Did I just throw it away? Yeah, I mean, just getting up, you know, doing something, and going to sleep, eating something. Yeah, it's the same thing all over. Yeah, all over our life. Huh? Get up in the morning, you know, eating something, you know, doing something, yeah, then drinking something, then doing something, and then go to bed, yeah? One day it's the same as the other. And we don't get it. We don't get bored by this, yeah? We so easily get bored, you know, when we sit in meditation and do our Buddha or do Samadhi, you know, we get easily, oh, it's so boring, yeah? But we don't see the boredom of everyday life, yeah? Because we don't see the big picture. Yeah? We're getting stuck in the forest and look at the trees and don't see the forest. Yeah? That's, you know, you need to foster up some motivation, you know, to get out of it. Yeah? I'm doing this, yeah. And some of the monks, you know, I'm building a monastery, you know, I don't know how many years it takes, 10 years, you know, to build a monastery. And then they want to build a chedi, you know, and at the end of their life, you know, I mean, they have not built anything inside, yeah. They have just built outside things just like the ordinary person, yeah. And that happens to some of the monks, yeah. We're called building monks, yeah. The monks are building outside things, they're not inside things. The way out or the way to heaven is very similar. The first thing that we have to understand is keeping the five precepts. I mean, if you want to go to heaven, you need to keep the five precepts. If you want to become a human being, you need to keep the five precepts. But for heaven, this is not enough. What else do we need if we want to go to heaven? We need a lot of generosity, in order, to create a lot of merit, Then what else do we need? We need another virtue. This is called gratitude. Being grateful for the things that are given to us, And another virtue, respect. We need to be able to respect people as they are, That doesn't mean respecting somebody, doesn't mean that we value what he does. But we can respect a murderer, or we can respect a thief, Because he is born as a human being, I mean, just thinking about that, Now we are born as a human being, he is born as a human being, so we can respect that because, I mean, it takes a lot of effort to come back as a human being, just like the Lord Buddha said, So we can respect these people, but respecting doesn't mean that we value or that we find it good what he's doing, And that is so difficult, especially in the West. I mean, we look down on so many people, Nowadays we look down if somebody has a different opinion, And we fight, And we fight for, who is right and who is wrong, That reminds me of the Bavarian saying, You are right and I have my peace, I don't care, I mean, if you think you're right, you're right, But I have my peace, I don't argue with you, But who can do that? We need to argue, we need to convince other people that we are right, and he needs to convince us that we are right, and then we get in a fight, and this fight is always, to our dissatisfaction, no matter if we win or not. It's a lot of dissatisfaction, I really, I lived, in Bavaria for a long time, and I really loved that saying, Okay, you're right, and I have my peace. You can say whatever you want, you can think whatever you want, and I don't argue with you, I mean, that is a good way, of making your life less less dukkha, less dissatisfactory. But now, we were talking about respect, so respecting, we can respect animals, I mean, even animals are beings, every being is a being, And even if it is a little mosquito, we need to respect it. It is a being, It used to be a human being, or it might have been a deva before, And now, because of some bad deeds, it is caught up in this realm, of an animal realm, or whatever it is, a rat, or a dog, for the big animals we have more respect than for the small animals, because the small animals like mosquitoes start to bite us, start to bother us, or we kill them off, all the bugs, that we kill off, I mean, whatever you kill, that is what you get, I mean, don't do unto others what you don't want to do unto you, Because whatever happens to you is what you have done unto others, I mean, we leave out the second part of the sentence, We always say, don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you, But nobody repeats, repeats the second and the most important phrase, yeah? Because whatever happens to us, whatever happens to us, yeah? I mean, listen very carefully. Whatever happens to us is what we have done unto others. Be it good or be it bad. Yeah? So, remember the way to heaven? Yeah? Okay. Having the three virtues of generosity, respect and gratitude. Yeah? And keeping the five precepts. Yeah? That's the way to heaven. But it's also the way, you know, the way out. Yeah? Because the way out, when you think about the way out, you know, opening the door to Sotapanna, entering the street, yeah, and you need the same virtues. You need the virtue of generosity. You need the virtue of respect. Yeah? You need the virtue of gratitude. Because if you are Sotapanna, if you find the way out, and if you become a Sotapanna or stream enterer, I mean, the only life that you live is, you know, in the human realm or in the heavenly realm. How can a Sotapanna not respect another person? How can he not be grateful? I mean, there are quite a few stories, you know, about the Venerable Ananda, you know, who was very grateful, you know, about a person who gave him one time a meal or whatever it was, yeah? He couldn't forget it, yeah? And how grateful are we for the opportunity that is given to us here in this monastery, yeah? Do we sometimes think about, you know, being grateful for the opportunity, being grateful to the people, you know, who bring us food every day, you know, who give us the money, you know, to build this monastery or repair this monastery, yeah? And we think it is our right because that is how we were trained in the West, yeah? This is my right, yeah? And if somebody, you know, if our parents don't give us the right, you know, to their inheritance, then we fight, you know, fight in front of the court. Or if they don't give us the right to go to university, then we fight them. Yeah? It's not only in the West, you know, according to Lungna Mabo, it already started here 20 years ago here in Thailand, that the people, you know, I mean, the younger generation has no gratitude anymore, you know, it's suing their parents, you know, in front of the court. Yeah? But still, you know, still the Fourth Noble Truth, yeah? So what is the Fourth Noble Truth? Of course, you know, it takes in the five precepts, yeah? That is the second fetter. What is the first fetter? It's the fetter of doubt, yeah? I mean, lots of people have doubt, yeah? They don't believe in heaven and hell. How many people now in the West believe in heaven and hell? Yeah? Some of them say, you know, heaven on earth, hell on earth, yeah? But that's not the way it is, yeah? Heaven, you know, I mean, how many realms? 25 realms. Hell has also 25 different kinds of hells, yeah? So heaven exists, yeah? Beings in heaven exist. Hell exists. Being in hell exists. And this, we shouldn't doubt that, yeah? If you're interested, you know, you can go to heaven or you can go to hell and look at the peak. So that is end, of course, karma. Yeah? Whatever you do unto others will come back to you. If you don't believe in these things, yeah, people nowadays act like, you know, nothing, you know, hurts them. Yeah, they act in a way, you know, they think, you know, I mean, whatever I do unto others, nobody will do unto me because I'm stronger. Yeah, next life, look at next life, you're weaker, you know, and then the people come and, you know, bully you. Yeah, now in this life you bully all the others, you know, I mean, throw around with your money or your power, you know, to succumb people, you know, to do this or do that. And in the next life, just the reverse is, yeah? In German, we have the saying, yeah? The oppressor of today is the oppressed of tomorrow. Or the oppressed of today is the oppressor of tomorrow. And that is really accords with the suttas, you know, of the Lord Buddha, yeah? I mean, he says the same thing, yeah? I mean, whatever, you know, whatever we experience right now, you know, be it the oppressed, or be it the oppressor, I mean, will happen to us in the reverse version in our next life. Yeah? So don't, yeah? Don't do bad things, yeah? Don't do good things. So the karma, yeah? Karma is very important. And if you don't understand it, if you don't believe in karma, if you don't believe in the results of karma, whatever our actions are, it will have results, yeah? Be it bad results, you know, and then we'll experience bad results, be it good results, then we will experience good results. And it is not that we can, yeah, I mean, some people, you know, can think about, you know, I mean, karma, you know, I mean, if they did a lot of bad karma, you know, then they realize, oh, I did a lot of bad karma, now I do only good karma, yeah. We cannot, yeah, we cannot exchange good karma for bad karma, yeah. We can do that with money, you know, if we have a lot of debt, you know, and then suddenly, you know, we get rich, you know, then we can pay back our debt, yeah. But that is not possible in karma, yeah. If we have done a lot of bad karma, we will have to experience the consequences of our bad karma. And if we have done a lot of good karma, we will be able to experience the merit of our good karma, yeah? Or the happiness of our good karma. We cannot exchange that, yeah? So beware, yeah? Beware of that, what you're doing, you know, that it is within, you know, within the five precepts or for monks within the 227 precepts, yeah? Or as long as you're a lay person, you know, within the eight precepts, as long as you live here in this monastery. So that is about, you know, the first fetter. And the first fetter, when you look at the world, you know, I mean, hardly any person believes anymore in heaven and hell. So where do they go, yeah? When they die, you know, their eyes will wide open, yeah? When they suddenly stand in front, you know, of the of the Lord of Hell, you know, and says, there's your working place, yeah? And then they're suddenly, what? I didn't do anything, yeah? That is the first fetter, yeah? The fetter of doubt, you know, and it is important, yeah? So we shouldn't doubt, you know, that there is karma. We shouldn't doubt that there is heaven and hell, you know, and we shouldn't doubt that there are results of karma. We shouldn't doubt that there are beings in heaven and beings in hell, yeah? And there are all the other realms, yeah? So this is the first fetter that binds us to this samsara, binds us to this hamster wheel, yeah? It is one of the fetters, yeah? That binds us. The second fetter is keeping the precepts and not keeping the precepts. Constantly, you know, constantly arguing, constantly constantly breaking the precepts, and then, it was bad, you know, it was bad, you know, now I keep my precept, and then, you know, a few days later, I want this, you know, I want that, yeah, and then suddenly realizing, it was against the precept, and then, I take the precept, so taking the precept, not taking the precept, yeah. That is the second fetter. I mean, it is. But what is the third fetter? That is the one that we have to work on very hard. Yeah, it is this. What I was talking in the beginning. It is this attachment to the body that we don't know that we are. That the body and the citta are two different things. Yeah. Yeah. The easiest thing, of course, would be, you know, if we are able to go outside of the body and look at the body, and then we have a clear understanding that we are not the body, that there is a citta and that there is a body. Yeah. But who gets this? You know, who gets this vision? You know, who is able, you know, to get out of the body, you know, to open the door of the body for the citta to get out, you know, and have a look at the body? Yeah. Very few people. Yeah. And that depends on, you know, whatever they have done in their previous lives. But this is really important to understand, you know, just this understanding that the body and the citta are two different things. This understanding is the third fetter. And if we break all these three fetters, yeah, then we can enter the stream. And no matter if we are monks, yeah, or no matter if we are lay people, we can do it, you know, if we put our mind to it. Because it is not yet that difficult. But it is a lot of hard work, yeah? I mean, we really have to put the body outside always, you know, we have to cut up the body just like the Lord Buddha gave in one of his desanas, you know, I mean, he talked about a cart, you know? when you disassemble the cart into bits and pieces, yeah, where's the cart? There's a wheel, there are some planks, there are some nuts, there are some nails, you know, and you know, but where's the cart? You know, you put it in front of it, there's no cart, yeah. Then you put it back together and then there's a cart. I mean, huh? The same thing with the body. If you do the same thing with the body, if you put all the body parts in front of you, put it nicely, you know, order it nicely, yeah. First the outer parts, then the inner parts, you know, until, you know, you know, put the skull in, and then you put the brain in, then you put the lungs there, and then you put the heart there. You take all these things that sit here on the seat out there, you know, and look at them, yeah. Until nothing and all of the body parts are out there, and then look at it, yeah. And then what is sitting here, yeah, and what is there, yeah. These are body parts, yeah. And none of the body parts is the body. It's just body part. Huh? And then you assemble it again. Yeah. I mean, if you're good at it, you know, if you disassemble, you know, for a moment there's a feeling, you know, that you're not the body, but it is not deep enough. Yeah. Then the moment you put the body together, you know, I mean, this feeling of I'm the body, you know, comes back. Yeah. So you have to do this often enough, you know, in order to. Until that really citta understands that the body and the citta are two different things. Then it clicks. Huh? And you cannot make this click. Of course we can understand it here. Huh? But our understanding here, think about it, you know, we understand that something that we do, you know, is obnoxious, is not good, but we still want to do it. Huh? There is some urge, you know, that we still want to do it. This is, you know, this is something that we have understood in our brain. This is not a good behavior, but the heart still longs to do it. Yeah? So the heart has to understand it. So the training of panya is to understand, you know, understand, the heart has to understand, you know, that the body and the citta are two different things. Yeah? It's the same with investigating dukkha vedana, you know, painful feelings while we sit in samadhi, yeah. It's the same thing. Hmm? We do understand, you know, how comes, you know, it is, yeah. I mean, the pain is not coming from the body, you know, because we get up, you know, and that the pain is gone, yeah. We know it is not, you know, we know it is in the heart, but this understanding is only in the brain, yeah. We have not really seen it, how it works, yeah. We have to understand how it works. And that is the same thing with putting the body apart in front of us, you know, laying it out, you know, until things, you know, and things really separate out. And when it really separates out, when the citta really understands, you know, when it really sees it, you know, then it clicks, yeah. And then that is, you know, that is the third fetter, yeah. And all this is, you know, and it is not easy, yeah. Right? Because we are so attached to the body. Yeah? I mean, see, you know, I mean, the moment we sit in samadhi and sit for an hour, you know, and it really hurts and really hurts, you know, we think, you know, we damage the body. Yeah? So, I mean, all our concerns are about the body. Yeah? But this understanding is, you know, saying the body is the body and the citta is the citta, you know, two different things. Yeah? And then we don't worry about, you know, then after this understanding takes place, we don't worry about the body. Huh? Oh, we take care of it. Yeah, of course we take care of it. Yeah? But we don't worry about the body anymore. Yeah, we don't think that the body breaks up just because we sit 3 or 4 or 5, 6 hours in samadhi. Yeah? We don't worry about it anymore. Yeah? So this understanding is needed, you know, to enter the stream or to open the door to the deathless. Yeah. It's only the opening of the door, yeah. I just want you to put some effort into your practice and get a little bit interested, yeah. The interest, you know, the interest is that, yeah. Being interested in what is going on in our heart. But we're interested in what is going on in the world. Huh? We're not interested in what is going on in our heart. Hmm? When we live here in the monastery, we're interested in what is going on in the monastery. Yeah? Or what is going on in the morning, or what is going on. Yeah? We're not interested in what is going on in the heart. Yeah? That's where we need to put our interest. And that's where the practice, you know, that's where the practice becomes self-sufficient. in a way that it rolls on its own. Yeah, I mean, we shut down when I look at my own, you know, own kind of practice. Yeah, suddenly, you know, after 2 years, I was not interested in what was going on left or right to me. Yeah, I was only interested in what was going on in my heart. Yeah, and I was constantly looking, you know, I mean, seeing the intentions to think, you know, coming up, and I don't want to think. Yeah, I didn't know the thought that was coming up, but I saw the direction of the thought. Yeah, I don't want to think, I don't want to memorize. Yeah, so I kept always in the heart, and nothing outside did interest me. And that is, and then it is a self-going machine. Yeah, I mean, it works perpetual. Yeah, and then whatever comes up, you know, I mean, it investigates. When it is dukkha vedana, investigates dukkha vedana. When it is investigating the body, you know, and pulling it out, you know, it rolls by itself. But we have to get this, you know. It's a huge stone, you know. I mean, think about a mountain that we have to go to rolling, yeah. The moment it starts rolling, you know, it has a self-momentum, yeah. And this self-momentum is not yet there here, huh? So you have to keep on working on that until there's self-interest, you know, and because interest is concentration, and concentration do we need, you know, for doing investigation. Yeah? This self-interest in what is going on in our heart has to come. Okay, enough for today.